Welcome to the 59th episode of Warriors Off Court, the San Francisco Chronicles NBA podcast. I'm your host, Warriors beat writer Connor Letourneau, and today I'm joined by the San Francisco Chronicles style reporter, Tony Bravo. Bravo has been the New York Fashion Week correspondent since 2013, and in recent years, he's found himself at more and more Warriors games. As Golden State has blossomed into a dynasty, its players have emerged as fashion moguls in their own right. Before the Warriors' Game 2 win Tuesday over the Rockets in the Western Conference semifinals, I caught up with Bravo in Oracle Arena about how and why Golden State has become such a big player in the fashion world. We'll have our conversation right after the break. Shortly after the Warriors made their famed walk into Oracle Arena ahead of Game 2, Tony Bravo and I chatted in a spare room next to Oracle Arena's press conference room. We're actually in the room that the players use as a pregame chapel, so I believe they just wrapped up service here a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I think the last time I was in this room was 3 years ago with our photographer Russell Yip for the Warriors off the court style shoot that we did. So
the one that jinxed the team, right?
We don't look at it that way. Thank you, Connor. That was lovely. It did not jinx the team. By the way, all of the other coverage we've given them in the style section over the years has never hurt. So
That was something that we were getting emails about a couple of years ago, because for those who aren't familiar, basically you guys came in and took photos of the guys in the clothes they like to wear, and then they started playing pretty badly after that, right?
Well, I just want to – they played well after that. Just the Cavaliers happened to have won that season. what it really was I think the beginning of us chronicling how important fashion has become in the NBA at the San Francisco Chronicle. It's been a really interesting decade, I think. The tide has totally – turned as menswear has blown up so huge in the fashion industry. Athletes are becoming the new runway stars, but the runways are the hallways at Oracle Arena, and you know that moment as you're leaving the court.
Yeah, and you actually had an awesome story about that a few weeks ago. Got a one-on-one with Draymond and all that, and we're going to jump into that in a second. But before we do, just for our listeners who aren't as familiar with your work, what's kind of your background? How did you end up at the Chronicle? How'd you get into fashion writing? Why is this your passion?
So I am a San Francisco native. I am a fourth generation San Francisco born. And I grew up, frankly, seeing the 49ers be really great, seeing the Warriors not be anywhere near as hot as they are. And I've seen the Giants through thick and thin and whatever we call what's currently going on with the Giants. So I came to fashion, though, because I love telling stories about aesthetic things. And I think the things that we wear and what NBA players wear tell a lot about the times that we're living in. And that's what's brought me to things like New York Fashion Week for the San Francisco Chronicle, why I cover the opening night galas of all the big arts organizations. And very cool that now part of my beat of writing about what people wear takes me to Warriors games at the end of the season and postseason. So I think this is something like the fifth year that I've been coming here. It all started the very first year that they won the championships, when in January I did a big style profile on Andre Iguodala, and I actually got to go in his closet, both of his closets, actually. He's got two.
He obviously fashions himself quite a fashion mogul, and honestly, he's one of maybe at least a half dozen guys on the team who really care about fashion.
Absolutely, and I don't want to brag, but I did get the, like, how you doing fist bump from him as he was walking in today, and it, like, nobody saw it, though, so, like, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound?
I don't even get that, so, and I'm around every day, so props to you.
Yeah, I'm a novelty, though. I'm, like, I am, you know, like, the shorter fashion writer that's, you know, I'm wearing Tom Brown tonight because there's no team that's dressed entirely in Tom Brown like there was with the Cavaliers last night. So I like to think it was for the jacket as much as it was for me.
How long have you been writing about fashion, and how long have you been writing at the Chronicle now?
I've been on staff 4 years at the Chronicle. I freelanced for probably 3 years before that. Been writing about fashion at least eight. Fashion, lifestyle, where we go and what we wear, what we do once we're there, lifestyle trends, the arts, all of this stuff converges pretty conveniently in 2019 thanks to something called social media. So the lines are very blurred.
Yeah, and a lot of it is brand marketing. And I mean, I know a lot of these guys are getting paid to wear certain things.
Yes,
and
everybody's an influencer, even people that have real jobs like basketball players.
I mean, yeah, how great is that that some of these guys get paid $35 million a year and then they get paid on top of that to wear a certain shirt down the quote-unquote runway, or you know, just into the arena for an NBA game.
Yeah, you know, I assume they don't go into this business to be poor, so it's great to know that they're also going into this business so they can have somebody great dress them, like Rich Fresh, who did some of the original looks that Draymond wore last season, or frankly Tom Brown, who did the Cavaliers last season.
So one of the reasons I love covering the NBA is because I feel like they're really on this league, as far as professional sports goes, is on the cutting edge of a lot of things, you know, gender issues, sexuality, religion, you name it, political, racial issues. And it feels like they've kind of been at the forefront of fashion as far as professional sports. Tell me if I'm wrong about that. But from your vantage point, where is the NBA in terms of being sort of a trendsetter for fashion among professional sports?
So that's a great question, Connor. There are so many things the NBA is doing for fashion right now. First of all, when it comes to the different types of sports and the different types of athletes, NBA players are really well positioned to do clothing well. They have the proportions of runway models, except they're quite a bit taller sometimes. I have had players tell me in the past that it's part of the tradition of African American male peacocking, this idea of dressing well pre and post game, the idea of showing your prosperity, of, you know, putting together a look that you're proud of. That has, in my years of covering this, spanned the range from beautifully made three-piece suits to some of the best, most hyped, like, streetwear you could possibly imagine, and all degrees of custom clothing in between all of that. So I would say the NBA is really leading men's fashion trends in the athletic world. Also, in my years of covering New York Fashion Week, for the men's shows, it's rare not to see somebody from an NBA team at the shows.
Who do you usually see?
Frequently, it was Andre. I would see Dre at a lot of the men's shows when the men's week was more popular. I think I've seen Draymond before, too, also.
What time of year is that again?
So the men's shows in New York happen in July and February now. And sometimes they would also... sometimes you would see players go to the regular fashion week, which was more women's stuff, in September and February. It depended on the season.
I'm guessing you saw Andre in July, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I saw Andre in July.
I'm guessing he didn't, like, skip out on a game and go in February.
No. He did not skip out and go in February. It was usually the summer shows I would see Andre at.
So one thing that is interesting that you just kind of hit on is, it is kind of a status thing, because a lot of these guys, not all of them, but a lot of these guys came from humble beginnings. And I know I've talked to Draymond and some other guys about how, you know, getting a new pair of shoes was like a really big deal to them when they, you know, at the start of basketball season, right?
Shoes is the entryway, I think, to style for a lot of these players. Andre Iguodala has something like 700 pairs of shoes in the two closets that I visited. By the way, this was 4 years ago, so we may be... over that number. Draymond, I think, told me that he had 500 pairs of shoes.
You ever heard of PJ Tucker for the Rockets?
How many does he have?
He has over 2,000.
Well, I mean, like, everything's bigger in Texas, right? As are the houses. I'm assuming he's got several.
I mean, he's
rooms.
Just like a role guy. I mean, he's got money, but not like the Draymond money or the Andre money.
Well, you know, like, collecting happens at all levels, right? By the way, like, he has money, but not Draymond money. Like, I'm so sorry for him. He's but a single-digit millionaire. How sad.
He's more than that, but yeah.
he's just a tens of millionaire. I weep for him.
Oh, yeah. No, at what point did you really see fashion become an important thing in the NBA?
So we were both talking earlier about Russell Westbrook's influence in the industry. I think that is a huge changing point. Also, I'm going to give credit to, I hope we're allowed to talk about LeBron James on this.
We are, yeah. Given we're not
many,
fans, so.
Given how many times we've come up against him people that follow the Warriors. His shoe was also a pretty amazing turning point, I think, for fashion in the NBA. And last year, frankly, the finals, between Tom Brown dressing the Cavaliers, LeBron doing the Tom Brown short suit, and then Draymond, I think, like topping all of that with his rich, fresh looks and the looks that he put together with his stylist, Vic Michelle. I think last year was really the year where we could no longer argue it. It was not debatable whether or not fashion and the NBA were talking to each other. Like, the moment had not only arrived, but it had been heralded. And
you were here that night, right?
I remember, I was here.
Were you so happy that you chose that night?
I was thrilled. First of all, I was also thrilled that I was able to find something that didn't clash with either of the color stories of the teams, because I know you can't look like you're repping one side or another.
Right.
I was thrilled. I got to ask a question at the press conference afterwards. Apparently, it's not very common to ask, who are you wearing?
I feel like that kind of went
on
viral.
On ESPN. It did go viral. I don't want to brag, but I mean, I didn't realize it was a peculiar question, to be honest with you.
No, but it was also relevant. I think Draymond enjoyed answering it, because I think Draymond enjoys talking about fashion.
Oh, he really does. And by the way, he told me that he appreciated the question afterwards.
Wasn't it Draymond that initially had the idea about this story idea that you wrote?
Draymond is very proactive in this. He does something called Fashion Fridays, which he's been on and off of, where he hashtags Fashion Fridays to his arrivals, showing what he wears on the way to a game for any game that was in the Oracle Arena on a Friday. So if you go on his Instagram feed, you can find posts with this, and other players in the NBA have taken it up and let it drop off, or kept doing it according to their own desires. Draymond, though, is really, I think, fashion focused. He did the short suit way before, about a year before, at the ESPN Awards, before the Tom Brown short suit on LeBron last season. He actually had saved the outfit a year. He was going to wear it, I think, to the NBA Awards the year that they did not win the championship. And he knew that he loved this short tuxedo so much that he saved it until the following year's ESPN Awards, I believe. And then he started doing the short suits as part of his arrival and departure look during the championships, because, to quote him, it gets warm in here. This is comfortable.
he definitely thinks that he's a little bit of an expert in fashion. I can tell you that firsthand, because it's one of those situations where if he doesn't like something I'm wearing to a shoot around or a practice, he'll let me know.
Really? What did he say?
He'll just be like, where'd you get that? What shirt is that? And he specifically will give a hard time to Mark Medina, who works for the Mercury News. They almost have kind of an inside joke at this point, because he gives Mark a hard time about his shoes and his shirts. Because Mark, I don't know, he beats his own drum, and I think that it's not in line with what Draymond considers good fashion.
Okay, so I'm gonna take all of that as a huge compliment, because when I was interviewing him in January, I was sitting there with him and we're talking about, you know, shoes, as you know, just two guys do when they're hanging out. And he told me he was really into Nikes. And that day I happened to have on a new pair.
Hopefully he's into Nike, because they pay him millions of dollars a year.
Well, yeah, as I was expecting. So I, of course, had already put on a pair of Nike shoes that day. I stress out more about what to wear for, like, NBA stuff than I do about Fashion Week or the opening night of the opera. Like, that's easy. That's a tuxedo. Like, I know what that's supposed to look like. So he looked down at the shoes and he gave me sort of the nod, but like, okay, you can stay. We can keep talking. The interview is going to continue. And I thought, well, good. That's a relief.
Yeah. But how big is it? Because I know you talk to all these different designers and different clothing companies. How big is it for, you know, a designer to have someone like, you know, a Steph Curry or a Kevin Durant wear their stuff walking into a game 7 of, let's say, the West Finals? You know, a game where everyone is watching that game across the country. It's on national TV. There's all the cameras in the quote-unquote runway or from the walk from the tunnel to the locker room. How big of a deal is that for those designers?
It's a huge deal. If you get your, let's say, a sneaker on an NBA star, that is better than any amount of publicity you could probably get from a regular fashion week or from just a big celebrity rollout. I mean, it's free advertising. It's enormous to get that. It can really help make a career. We didn't necessarily know in Northern California or outside of Los Angeles who Rich Fresh was last year until Draymond Green said his name when I asked him the question at that ESPN conference. And he told me that it was a big deal for him. He has a great business of bespoke stuff down in LA, but inquiries through his Instagram and through his website, he said, shot up considerably after that moment. So I think for a smaller brand, it's even more make or break. For a big brand, a big luxury house, they never turn it down. Which is why, by the way, over the last few years, so many designers that are doing sneakers have expanded their sizes. A lot of these guys have big feet. They're tall guys, you know. So you can now get stuff above, let's say, a 14 or a 15 in a Saint Laurent, in a Gucci, that previously might not have been running in those sizes.
It makes sense because it's one of those situations where you have kids across the country who grow up, you know, they can't wait for the next Jordan or the next Kobe or the next LeBron shoe to come out, and for them to now take it to that next level and say, hey, I want that shirt that Draymond's wearing. I mean, especially my friends who are into fashion. I have a friend who lives in DC who has his own streetwear brand. He would die if something like that happened, if Draymond wore his shirt in that type of situation.
And rightly so, but hopefully not before he fulfilled all of the orders he would get. You know, and I will say this too, like sneakers for a lot of guys, for those guys that didn't grow up like I did reading Vogue magazine and waiting for runway reports, sneakers can be the way that you have sort of your gateway into caring about clothes. You know, it starts from the feet and then maybe eventually you figure out, well, I need the newer, cooler Levi jean that's got a shorter cuff so it can show off the sneaker a little bit more. Okay, well, then maybe I should do a decent sports jacket to go with it. It's kind of it's a rolling stone that picks up speed.
I want your opinion because it seems like I'm obviously not a fashion expert. I want your opinion
on. You look fantastic right now, by the
thank
way.
You.
This is very well put together.
Thank you. I'm one of the beat writers that tries to wear suits every game. But I want your thoughts on. Just because you have money doesn't mean you have fashion sense, right? I mean,
clearly not. No, I'm not going to name any prominent celebrities for whom that is true. But I mean, like, pick up an Us Weekly. It's obvious. By the way, I'm going to point out I have never worn a suit to any of these games. So you are heads and shoulders above me in that, Connor.
Oh, I appreciate that. Any compliment from you, it means a lot. But what do you think specifically of the Warriors style? There's a wide range. You have Kevin Durant, who is a much more laid back style. He likes the hoodie.
But classic. Every piece he's worn, I think, is impeccable. It may be casual, but it fits him beautifully. There's always a great sneaker finishing it off. All of them have great sneakers. I kept staring at their feet as they were coming in. But impeccable, though. Simple, but impeccable.
And it sounds like that's an important thing in fashion, right? Is finding clothes that fit who you are, fit your style, fit. Because you can tell when someone's trying too hard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, like, just to talk about a couple of the players. I mean, Draymond and Andre are a little bit more fashion forward. They take some more risks. They go for a bold color. Or maybe they go for an all neutrals look, which is an interesting risk. Steph Curry, I think, just looks like the guy next door. And if you live next to somebody that had their life together really well, I think he always looks great. I know that his wife is a big customer of Sherry McMullen's boutique here in Oakland, and she cares passionately about clothing, in addition to all the social things that they care about. I think the Warrior style really does run the range, and that's what's great about it. I thought that the attempt to do a uniform look last year with Tom Brown for the Cavaliers was noble, but it was a great fashion attempt, but it didn't feel genuine to me. I didn't feel a lot of the guy's personal style reflected in it. I love the fact that all of the Warriors look like the best versions of themselves when I see them before the games or after the games, unless it's been like a really terrible game, in which case I don't ask them what they're wearing. That's not the day.
What about Clay?
I'm sensing some hesitation on Clay. I think Clay looks good.
I ask about Clay because Clay is the type of guy who doesn't seem to care about a lot of things. I mean, he cares a lot about basketball.
Uh-huh.
He cares a lot about his family, his you know, his charity. He cares a lot about his dog. He doesn't seem like a guy who cares a lot about what he wears. I've seen things on Instagram of him at Dolores Park on an off day with – you know, sweatpants that have dirt all over them and that sort of thing. But I've also seen him dress up after games. And specifically, I'll see him dress up when he's in a place where it makes sense to dress up. L.A. on a Saturday night, he'll dress up. When maybe if he has a lady friend in town, he'll dress up, that type of situation.
Well, I think that's fair. Also, dirty sweatpants is now apparently the official uniform of Dolores Park. So, you know, when in Rome, go as the occasion dictates.
But Clay's the definition of a guy who everything he does is genuine. And so I'm guessing you just appreciate that aspect.
I also think he has somebody that's pulling some good basics for him. Nothing I've ever seen him wear looks terrible. I've never seen any of these guys look terrible, you know, for what they make and for how busy they are. There is usually somebody that is pulling things, whether it's suits for after games or for special occasions, or even somebody that just goes and gets the very best, you know, $90 sweatpants, the best, you know, cashmere basics from someplace. So I don't think any of them look bad.
And honestly, it might be a peer pressure situation too, because I can promise you that if you come into Warriors practice not looking on point, Draymond's going to call you out.
I think that if you dress like a scrub, it's like you're not going to fit in with this team.
Yeah.
This is a team that I think has elevated a lot of not only their looks, but I think that they've elevated overall what the climate is in the NBA when it comes to fashion.
What did you think? Do you remember a couple years ago at All-Star Weekend when Russell Westbrook didn't want to talk about anything but fashion? Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember that. It was a good day for me professionally. I mean, although not one of our players.
What role has I personally enjoy going to Russell Westbrook press conferences solely to see what he's wearing, because they're always super cutting edge. They're always something that not a lot of other people could pull off. What do you think of what he's bringing to the table in that department?
I think that he's one of the people that helped spark the menswear revolution that's been going on. Again, it was part of this issue of the fact that men are able to, I think because of changing things about aesthetics and gender norms, are able to care more about fashion without it being considered not masculine, or even not caring about whether or not it's considered feminine or not masculine. But to have these athletes that are seen as the paragons of masculinity and physical strength embracing something like fashion says to some 12-year-old kid that may be afraid he's going to get beat up if he cares too much about his shoes or the cuff of his pants, hey, it's fine. Russell Westbrook does it. You know,
yeah.
You want to argue with him about it, bully?
No, exactly. Actually, I've experienced that firsthand. I have a friend who has a 10-year-old son, and he is super into fashion, loves sneakers. He came home one day and told his mom, you know, he was being made fun of at school for loving fashion. And he just told them, well, Russell Westbrook loves fashion. Draymond Green loves fashion. And that made them shut up, because they love Russell Westbrook and they love Draymond Green.
That's a really good defense. You know, boxers also like fashion too. So,
yeah,
you know.
And they can kick our ass. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen boxers at the Philip Plane show before in New York. So I know.
Yeah.
I think Philip Plane actually did boxing shorts for maybe Oscar De La Hoya not that long ago. So, you know, the crossovers between fashion and sports are getting more and more plentiful, whether it's designers sticking their names on sneakers and doing special collaborations with more standard athletic brands, or if it's just the fact that we now go on Instagram to look at what players are wearing as much as we go on our phones to check what the score of the game is. I mean, they're now walking very hand in hand.
I mean, they're the ultimate influencers, right? And I mean, the thing about their influence is a lot of influencers only appeal to a very specific age group, right? But someone like Kevin Durant, there are 5-year-olds who love Kevin Durant and there are 85-year-olds who love Kevin Durant.
Absolutely. And if they want Kevin Durant sneakers, I'm sure they can, you know, go online, figure out what he's wearing and have them sent to them by drone, probably quicker than, like, probably before the game is over, they could have them at their house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just part of that connectivity that we have. It's a very Silicon Valley Bay Area thing of social media has made the world much smaller. And it's also made fashion and consuming anything, whether it's fashion or books or home decor, much easier because you can click to buy, because you can follow stuff on social, because you've got the Amazoning of everything, making everything from socks to exactly the type of hat somebody wears in a paparazzi shot suddenly available for purchase.
So the real question, are we going to be seeing you around closer to, you know, let's say they get past the series, come NBA Finals. Now that is peak time, right? You think we'll see you back here?
I would like to consider tonight to be my sort of initial research to see how much they may or may not step it up, you know, fingers crossed, if, you know, depending on how well things go the next couple of days. I will absolutely be back. I am not guaranteeing that I will get an encore on ESPN. That is up to you, Warriors. I'm going to need you to pull out the stops here and give me something where I need to ask who made it. Right. So, you know, I'm looking at you guys.
Yeah, hopefully they're I know some of them do listen to the podcast, so hopefully they get this message.
And listen, you know, I would much rather interview NBA players than male models about what they're wearing at this point.
Why is that?
They've got more to say. To say nothing about the you know, brilliant articulation abilities of male models, but I've interviewed them. You know, like, I know what they have to say about them. Most of them don't pick their clothes. Right. I agree. The hallway is the new runway. The tunnel is the new runway. Draymond is absolutely correct about that. Any one of the players wants to sit down with me during finals, after finals, should we get there? I'm your man, you know? Like, tell me what products you endorse. Tell me what sneakers you want. Tell me who you want to ask you to endorse a sneaker.
Yeah.
Let's try and get that out there in the open. I want the story first.
Well, if there's one thing they love talking about, it is that stuff. And sometimes I wish I could ask about that stuff instead of my job, which is a lot of times asking about things they don't want to talk about.
Well, tag me in, bro. Tag me in.
All right.
You can come help me out.
All right.
Anytime you want that, I'll do it.
All right. Appreciate it, Tony. Great having you on the pod.
Thanks for having me here.
I want to thank Tony Bravo for joining me on the podcast. It's always fun picking his brain about the intersection of fashion and sports. Warriors Off Court is part of the San Francisco Chronicle podcast network. Audrey Cooper is the editor-in-chief. If you like the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a minute to give us a quick review, that helps us build our audience so we can keep growing. Follow me on Twitter at @con_cron and email me at cleturno@sfchronicle.com. Support Warriors Off Court and a lot of great journalism with a subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. There are print and digital editions. Find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe.